It's Wednesday, August 7th. I'm Priyanka Arabindi.
And I'm Juanita Tolliver, and this is What a Date, the show where we're learning how a Midwestern dad and football coach reacts to a crowd of 10,000 people.
Pretty well, if you ask me. I mean, that felt like a pep rally.
Yeah, he was really into it, so much so that when he was cheering for the vice president, we could hear him on the mics. I need him to learn mics, and also need him to not turn his back to cameras. We got a good start, though.
It's refreshing. He's a real person. He does real people things.
On today's show, Hamas appoints the architect of the October 7th attack as its new leader. Plus, Google search violates U.S. antitrust law.
But first, after much deliberation, Vice President Kamala Harris has picked Minnesota Governor Tim Walz to be her running mate. If we sound excited, it is because
we are.
The vibes are very high around here. It's like full of excitement. The two made their debut together at a joint rally in Pennsylvania on Tuesday.
Thank you, Madam Vice President, for the trust you put in me, but maybe more so, thank you for bringing back the joy.
I love his emphasis on joy because this is one thing that Trump and Republicans have been trying to attack, specifically related to Vice President Harris's laugh. She is a happy person. She likes to laugh. And also, that's what energizes and mobilizes voters.
Yeah, they are having fun out there. It is totally energizing, as you said, to watch them. It's infectious, really.
Walz is nearing the end of his second term as Minnesota's governor. While he describes himself as a moderate, Walz was the candidate progressives hoped Harris would pick. Part of the reason is because of some major Democratic priorities he signed into law as governor, like protecting access to abortion and gender-affirming care, gun control, and paid family leave. He's also a veteran, a former high school teacher, and served 12 years in Congress, representing a swing district that Donald Trump won by 15 points in 2016.
Yeah, that is wildly, wildly impressive. But aside from that track record, he is also an incredibly personable, funny person and really, really effective at sort of landing these lines against Republicans. During an interview with MSNBC's Morning Joe a few weeks back, he referred to Republicans as weird, which went super viral, has since been echoed by so many people, including the Harris campaign. And, you know, the hits keep coming.
Now we see that weird attack everywhere. We know Trump and Republicans hate it, and the people respond to it.
Definitely. And just last night, he did it again. In his rally with Harris, they were discussing reproductive rights, which are a critical point that they and Democrats nationwide are campaigning on. He distilled the message so simply.
In Minnesota, we respect our neighbors and their personal choices that they make. Even if we wouldn't make the same choice for ourselves, there's a golden rule. Mind your own damn business.
Put it everywhere.
I want a sign. I want a hat. I want a t-shirt. Like, because this message resonates no matter where you live. I know growing up in the South, it was absolutely about mind your business.
I think it's a line we will see a lot of places. I really hope that's what happens. To get to know more about Governor Walz and what he is bringing to the ticket, I spoke earlier with Larry Jacobs. He is the director of the Center for the Study of Politics and Governance at the University of Minnesota and the author of the book Democracy Under Fire, Donald Trump and the Breaking of American History. I started by asking him why he thought Harris bypassed some other big name candidates from swing states like Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro and Arizona Senator Mark Kelly to choose Governor Walz.
I think he won people over in part because it's a great contrast with J.D. Vance. And he really is authentic. He was a social studies teacher not that long ago. He was in the National Guard for a good part of his life. He was a football coach. And that is him, genuinely. And coming to politics mid-career, he's not a careerist. He talks to people. He engages with people as a human being. And I think that was something that set him apart. The other part is, unlike Josh Shapiro, Tim Walz has worked in Washington for a dozen years as a member of Congress. And he passed legislation, and this is very important. He then pursued its implementation by working inside the bureaucracy in Washington. That is a real skill set. And I mention that as important because Tim Walz is going to hit the ground running if Kamala Harris wins as a governing partner. He knows how the place works. And so I think the fact that Tim Walz is able to step into the role, that he's familiar with Washington, he knows how it works, that's going to be a big plus, and that Harris team valued that.
given Minnesota's recent history as, you know, a Democratic state, Walz doesn't seem to expand the electoral map for Harris in the same way that maybe Shapiro or even possibly Senator Kelly would. You know, what does he bring to the ticket, you know, aside from that, do you think?
Well, I actually don't think the evidence suggests that the vice president does a whole lot electorally for the president. I mean, if you think about each of the modern presidents, they've been looking more for ideological compatibility and personal chemistry. And I think that's what we've seen. Both Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are pragmatic progressives. They want to push the envelope, but they want to succeed, and they don't want to alienate the critical block of voters. And that's what Tim Walz has been up to.
Certainly a very personable person as well. He's gained a lot of popularity, especially on the internet in the past few weeks with the weird comments. Tell us a little bit more about what Governor Walz is like as a person.
Not long ago, I was walking my dog down along the Mississippi, and there's Governor Walz walking along with his two dogs. You know, we're friendly, but not friends. And yeah, there we are. We ended up talking for 20 minutes, and it's very pleasant. You will see him at agricultural events. We have something in Minnesota called Farm Fest. And he shows up in a t-shirt and a farmer's hat, and we'll spend, you know, a lot of time just shaking hands, talking to farmers, and they'll say, I didn't vote for him. I probably won't vote for him, but I like him. And he was elected to Congress in a kind of a conservative, Republican-leaning area in the southeast corner of the state. And the way he first started to run is he just started visiting cafes. And he wouldn't introduce himself as, hi, I'm Tim Walz, I'm running for Congress. He would say, what's on your mind? And so he's got that kind of genuine interest in people.
I want to talk about his time as the governor of Minnesota. He's halfway through his second term currently. He's been able to accomplish a lot with Democrats in control of the state house and the Senate. So what have some of his signature accomplishments been? And what do you think impressed Vice President Harris and her team about him?
Well, he has been one of the most progressive governors in the state after the progressives won the House and Senate. And he's been able to kind of steer that energy in a constructive direction, even though the majority they have in the Senate is just one seat. So it's taken a lot of skill to do that. But, you know, it includes some very significant legislation aimed at lower and middle income Americans, a statewide child income credit, paid family leave. He provides free meals for all children. And when he's been criticized, he's asked Republicans, do you think children should go to school hungry? So he's been very smart about that. He's been very supportive of the efforts to make abortion legal in Minnesota. He's been really out front on that since the beginning. And that's obviously a high priority for Kamala Harris.
By all accounts, as you said, he seems like a very, you know, intensely personable person, very smart and astute on messaging. But where do you think Governor Walz could be vulnerable to Republican attacks, which they almost certainly, I think they've already started?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of criticism of Kamala Harris for being ultra-liberal, and there's been criticism of her for being weak on the border. And in various ways, Governor Walz is going to reinforce those criticisms because he has just passed a really remarkable set of progressive bills, increasing spending by over 40%. That's going to reinforce the Republican criticism about liberalism, run amok. He's also passed legislation that allowed undocumented immigrants to get driver's licenses. And that'll certainly be grabbed by Republicans and conservatives as evidence that he too is weak on the border and illegal immigration. There is certainly going to be, you know, opportunities to double down on these criticisms. But again, I think very quickly, the campaign is going to move on to Trump versus Kamala Harris, and we won't be talking about the VP candidates.
Definitely. I want to talk a little bit more about Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, who's the Republican nominee for vice president. He's proven himself over the past couple of weeks to be a questionable pick, has the potential to really distract from the campaign. What does Walz need to do here to kind of not do that?
Well, I think Tim Walz is going to remain who Tim Walz is. He's not going to be someone who is overstepping his skis. He will be a team player on the ticket. I don't think we're going to see him, you know, rushing for the national stage. My hunch is that Kamala Harris will use him to take on particular groups of voters. You know, for instance, Minnesota has the highest per capita population of Somalis. Well, Kamala Harris needs to mobilize and mend fences with Arab American voters in the state of Michigan if they're going to carry that state. I could very easily see Tim Walz being designated as the ticket's ambassador to those voters. And he has, in Minnesota, found ways to show respect, to listen, to respond, and build those relationships.
That was my conversation with Larry Jacobs, director of the Center for the Study of Politics and Governance at the University of Minnesota.
That's the latest for now. We'll get to some headlines in a moment. But if you like our show, make sure to subscribe and share with your friends. We'll be back after some ads. Let's wrap up with some headlines.
Headlines.
Hamas named Yahya Sinwar as its new leader on Tuesday following the assassination of the group's former political chief, Ismail Haniyeh, in Iran. Sinwar has served as Hamas's top official in Gaza since 2017, and he's credited with planning the October 7th attack on Israel that left more than 1,200 people dead. Israel has targeted Sinwar and other Hamas officials in recent weeks amid the country's assault on Gaza, where the Palestinian death toll has surpassed 39,000. Israeli defense officials released a statement on Tuesday saying that they would continue to pursue Sinwar. A spokesperson for Hamas told Al Jazeera on Tuesday that Sinwar will continue ceasefire talks with Israel.
Stock markets went back up on Tuesday after days of losses, including the S&P 500's worst loss since 2022. The major sell-offs in the last few days came in response to a weak jobs report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics on Friday. The report was significantly worse than expected, causing global markets to plummet. Stephen Blitz, chief U.S. economist at the economic research company T.S. Lombard, said in a note to clients, quote, "No recession today, but one is increasingly inevitable by year end if the Fed fails to act." Donald Trump and other Republicans are already casting the blame on Democratic nominee Kamala Harris as they attempt to slow her campaign's growing momentum. Okay, make it make any amount of sense.
Can't. Doesn't.
Meanwhile, experts cite interest rates and a weak Japanese economy as the main factors in the recent economic downturn.
U.S. District Judge Amit Mehta ruled Monday that Google search has violated U.S. antitrust law. Google has spent tens of billions of dollars on exclusive contracts with companies like Apple, where they essentially pay potential competitors not to challenge them. Those contracts have allowed them to prevent rivals from creating other search engines. RIP Ask Jeeves, if you remember that throwback, you know?
Miss that guy.
Google has an 89.2% market share for general search services and 94.9% on mobile devices. The lawsuit opens the door for further legal proceedings to find solutions, one of which could include breaking up Google's parent company, Alphabet. Alphabet plans to appeal the ruling.
Wow, okay, definitely something we will continue to watch. This is a big, big deal.
Yes, it is.
And finally, for your daily dose of Olympic news from your favorite Olympic correspondents, just here in the U.S., they didn't send us to Paris, but still a few days. Team USA's Gabby Thomas took home her first gold medal on Tuesday after she won the women's 200-meter race. It was electric.
Phenomenal.
Thomas previously won bronze in the same event at the 2020 Tokyo Games, but she made it clear that she came to Paris this year to win with a finish time of 21.83 seconds. On the soccer field, the U.S. women's soccer team secured their spot in this week's finals. The team beat Germany in a semifinal match on Tuesday and will face off with Brazil for the gold medal on Saturday. And in basketball, the U.S. men's team won their quarterfinal game against Brazil, earning them a spot in the semifinals. In the meantime, though, we are looking forward to the Olympic debut of breakdancing, which is scheduled for Friday. I'm personally also looking forward to a bunch of track relays.
Yes!
That will be really fun for me.
Yes, 4x100 in particular. Also, Priyanka, with all these sports, all these beautiful sports, we got track, we got soccer, we got basketball and breakdancing. Which one do you think you could perform best? Just like walking in off the street. What do you think?
Walking in off the street, I think it has to be running. It seems like the only one I actually can
Bless.
Do.
Okay.
But
okay.
I do think with some time and training.
What?
Maybe it could be breakdancing.
Come on. I knew you were going to say it. Right? I know you got rhythm. I know you got a bounce to you. Let's go.
It could be fun.
And those
What about you?
Oh, no. We're moving on. And those are
the... Juanita said absolutely no.
I appreciate your confidence, though, because that was great. With some training.
With some training, I could maybe do it.
And those are the headlines. One more thing before we go. It can be so frustrating to see what the world should look like and feeling like each day it gets further and further out of reach. But as Stacey Abrams would say, one piece isn't going to fix the whole puzzle, but that doesn't mean we can't do something somewhere soon. On her new Crooked show, Assembly Required, with Stacey Abrams, Stacey is joined by organizing experts and progressive leaders to break down the biggest issues in politics right now, crowdsourcing solutions, and sharing stories of actions that make you feel less alone and help motivate your friends and family to make a difference. You can listen to the trailer right now wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the first episode of Assembly Required with Stacey Abrams, dropping August 15th.
Like the show, make sure you subscribe, leave a review, break out your Minnesota hot dish recipe, yes, and tell your friends to listen.
And if you're into reading and not just reports of judges enforcing antitrust law like me, What a Day is also a nightly newsletter. Check it out and subscribe at crooked.com/subscribe. I'm Juanita Tolliver.
I'm Priyanka Arabindi.
And Minnesota Nice 2024. Okay, I Googled hot dish. I am ecstatic. Okay, one, I need it with no cheese, but it looks really, really great. It looks really fun. Like, put it on like a tray of chili with some like corn dogs in the middle and then the tots on top. Thumbs up. I'm excited. What It Is, a production of Crooked Media. It's recorded and mixed by Bill Lance. Our associate producer is Raven Yamamoto. We have production help today from Michelle Aloy, Tyler Hill, Greg Walters, and Julia Clear. Our showrunner is Erica Morrison, and our executive producer is Adrian Hill. Our theme music is by Colin Gilliard and Kashaka.